Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Dr. Fidatu Mituyoto, it is the Luke and Beat Show. Pete Donaldson with you, joined by Luke Moore. We're getting into the show nice and early because I'm very, very concerned that we never start the show speedily. Let's get into the content. What's going on, Luke? What have you done for your weekend? Are you having a nice time?
I'm not ready. I don't think I've seen many criticisms of this show, by the way, but right. I haven't seen one that says it's not quick enough.
Okay.
I've seen that. So, but I'm happy to try it if you like. I mean, I can go quick with the best of them. Ask anyone.
I think they appreciate a dawdle, the Luke and Pete Show fans, if indeed there are any. I'm always astonished at people giving us a bit of love on Twitter and in the iTunes reviews, because I've got some opinions about this show. I'm sure you have too, Luke. So thank you very much for listening.
People love it as a companion show, right? It's just like they like to hear what two morons have been doing. And I think it gives them a little window into... Look, Pete, I'm much more confident about things than you are. I'm much more up myself than you are. Everyone who listens to this show regularly will know that. I'm not going to do this show a disservice. I'm going to say people see it as a bit of a companionship. They think they love us. They get to know us over time. They enjoy our company. We've been doing this 4 years now, of course. There's been a lot of things that have come as a result of it. And we value all of our listeners. It's great. Constantly overlooked at the British Podcast Awards for this specific show. But fair enough. Maybe it's not a critical success. Maybe we're more Michael Bay than Martin Scorsese. I can live with that on this show.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean, was Scorsese ever approached to even enter a podcast award entry?
It's the first name I thought of. I don't know. Probably not. Four-year anniversary, though, Pete. We've been doing this for 4 years and we're still here. So that's got to tell you something, right?
Yeah.
We're like Anvil. We're like the podcast version of Anvil. Remember that film, Anvil?
Forgotten. Yeah, they were like the universally forgotten rock band that had a bit of a cult following. And did they reform in the film? They were very old, weren't they?
They had a real second wind after the movie itself, because people didn't know if the movie was real or not. They thought it was like a Spinal Tap vibe, but it was real. And as a result of the film's popularity, they became quite famous again, started booking big shows. And of course, these days in music, that's where all the money is. So
fun.
You and I haven't had like proper fist fights like they do, though.
No. Well, it's hard to do that sometimes on the rare occasion we do it over Zoom. Luke, I have got an amazing news story. A woman, right, has been arrested at the US border and she's been doing a little bit of smuggling. Right, not the north south border, the Canadian America's hat into America. This woman, right, tried to smuggle. She tried to smuggle a following out of the country. Right, stop me when you're interested. 8 African antelope horns. That's naughty.
Yeah, that is very naughty.
Yeah, six shark jaws. Right.
Wow. Yeah.
30 sea stars. Now, how many sea stars do you need? 30 of them.
What is that?
I presume it's like a starfish. I presume it's an American Americanism of the word starfish.
I like them being called sea stars, because that's a much better name than starfish, because they're not really a fish.
No, true. Yeah, good point. 23 raccoon feet.
Why just the feet? I mean,
I know, right?
There's a process involved there.
Yeah. 18 crocodile skulls and heads, 7 crocodile feet. Just obsessed with feet. We've got shark jaws
by the way,
there.
Pete, 7. Mm-hmm. That's not even a round number.
No, it's not.
That's 1 3/4 of a crocodile.
Yeah. I think the thing that probably made it more difficult than anything else was the three-toed sloth she tried to come in with. I presume that was alive. A 1 3-toed sloth.
That's the equivalent. That is the animal... smuggling equivalent of that guy trying to go for $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You've gone too far.
How
big's a bag, by the way?
Mm. Oh, the one thing I haven't mentioned, 1 human skull with mounted butterflies. So, like a case with a skull.
Where's she going? Where was she travelling?
From Highgate Springs, Vermont.
She wasn't going to the G7, was she?
She was arrested at the US-Canada border after trying to smuggle a three-toed sloth, some antelope horns, and a human skull through.
I think, for me, that is horrific. I think we can all agree on that. Mm-hmm. I've seen a video on YouTube of a guy rescuing a three-toed sloth from a road and putting him back up a tree.
Oh.
It's an amazing video because the sloth is every bit as you'd imagine it. Basically, every bit like that scene in Madagascar where they're doing the customer service desk in that movie. And when the guy rescues the sloth from the road, because he's taking so long to cross the road, it looks like he's at some point a car's going to come along.
Mm.
Picks him up, puts him in the tree, and they've got really smiley faces.
Mm.
The sloth like does this, like looks back. And looks around and gives them a smile. It's the cutest thing ever. I hope it's not the same sloth.
No, yeah, I hope it's not a famous sloth that she killed and tried to
famous in the sloth community.
Exactly, yeah. That's a viral breakout sloth star. I think with the sloths, though, I would love to give them a little shampoo because their fur is always matted with moss and green algae and stuff. I want to give them a Vidal Sassoon.
Let's be honest, wild animals stink. They all absolutely stink. They do.
They do.
I don't think, and I think that's fair enough. That's part of it, right?
Mm.
Part of the reason I like dogs as well, but part of the reason I like cats is because cats don't smell.
Right. Their food does, though.
Dogs, no, because we only have dry food with them.
Right, okay.
They don't smell of anything. It's not really, I don't think, as far as I'm aware, it's not really the done thing to give cats like wet food anymore. It's bad for their teeth and stuff.
Bad for their teeth? What, they don't get, their teeth get too sharp because there's nothing to chew on?
No, I think it's just that it coats their teeth with this kind of lacquer, which is bad for their kind of.
Well,
a lot of the good dry food helps to clean their teeth as well.
Right. Is there a cat version of a dentist stick? Because my dogs are absolutely wild on the old dentist sticks. They love them.
There is. I felt there should be, but I don't think there is. So the thing about cats is. So for the difference, as far as I'm aware, and I've had access to many dogs over the years, not quite as consistently as you, and of course Buckley, the dog you have access to, we featured on the Ramble on Friday, lovely stuff. But the thing about cats is they're not constantly hungry. It's not, you know, look, I get the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, I get the impression with a dog, he's always ready for food, right?
Yeah.
If you give him food, they'll just eat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cats kind of are, but they don't, only at certain, my cats anyway, only at certain times of the day. So to the point where you can leave a plate with crumbs on it on the sofa, and occasionally one of my cats will jump up, sniff at it, but not actually get stuck into it if they don't fancy it. So there's not this feeling where you've always got to feed them. And of course, in the summer, they're out for hours on their own. So who knows what they're doing? You know, they're probably going through bins and stuff, of course. But because one of mine ate a chicken bone and cut his stomach. And a bit of blood in his saliva and stuff.
So that does happen.
But I don't think you need to... I don't think there's an idea with cats that you need to give them constantly something to chew on, which, of course, you do need to with dogs.
How do you sort of fix a cat's bleeding stomach? Because presumably that would be quite an invasive bit of surgery.
Yeah, I think with... Luckily for us, I think it was a very, very small kind of... cut.
Irritation. Right. Is it like when, if you blow a gasket in
bad,
it...
You have to operate.
Yeah, if you blow a gasket in an engine, you can get this stuff. If you do what I do, where you left the coolant top off the car and drove about 100 miles down the road, and obviously the engine coolant evaporates or just kind of leaves the engine somehow, and if the gasket gets blown and stuff, or if there's any sort of slight tears in the engine, you can buy this stuff and it goes in your coolant, and it's basically just these little rubber balls that that kind of find the cracks in where the oil is leaking out or where the coolant is leaking out, and it basically just fuses together with the hot, like the hot cracks, so to speak. I love any technology. I love discovering any product that I've not discovered before, and then it becomes the most important thing in my life, and I need
it. All you can think about.
So all I can think about.
I always tell our listeners that you either think about things not at all, you just do something, or you think about things way too much. Like, you never think about something for the most appropriate amount of time. Mm. Is that fair?
No, it's not fair, but for the purposes of the show...
Hang on a minute, I don't care.
For the purpose of this show, I don't think you care whether I care. No, I exactly.
Can I just tell you something that you reminded me of with that little fact there, which was fascinating? Mm. Is that, have you seen, I believe they still use it, but there's this big medical treatment that I believe I'm right in saying, and I'm freestyling a bit here because I haven't looked it up. There's this medical treatment that is used to treat wounded people on the battlefield, which has kind of completely revolutionized how wounded soldiers are treated. And what it is, as far as I'm aware, and by all means email in hello@lukeandpeacher.com if you know more information about this or if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm right in saying that one of the biggest causes of death in the battle on the battlefield is people essentially bleeding out, right? It's impossible to stop the blood flow if the wound is big or it's in a certain place. And there's this treatment which is basically, it looks like a giant syringe, and it's filled with quite small, almost like, I want to say they look like polystyrene little things that you get when you have packaging, but they're like super absorbent sponges. And they go to the wound and they inject these sponges through this thing into the wound, and they instantly expand and completely block off the wound.
Right. Okay. So it's like insulation form. Like really,
yeah. Basically, yeah. It's exactly like that. And it buys you a load of time because the victim, you know, is far less likely to lose too much blood. And it's kind of an extension to that old thing that everyone knows about, how like super glue was used in Vietnam and stuff.
Well, is that kind of is that Chinese powder that was very important? I think in Vietnam as well, where you sort of throw it in, and it's an antiseptic, but it also congeals the blood. So it is just about congealing the blood
basically.
As soon as, but yeah, coagulate just as soon as it hits the wound. Fascinating stuff. Probably very dangerous in the long term, but hey, if your guts have come out, you just need it closing up pretty quickly.
You closer to the boat.
You do.
Speaking of I just finished listening to a brilliant podcast series called The Line. Have you heard of it?
I haven't. No, fill us in.
It's. I think it's I want to say it's an Amazon original. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's about a guy who gets accused of committing a war crime in the Middle East, and he's basically ratted on by his own patrol.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Patrol of Navy SEALs and the chief. Of the patrol, and it's about what happened and different people's stories and the court case, and of course they had no crime scene, they had no victim to look at, no autopsy or anything, and it's about kind of the dynamic between a patrol leader and his soldiers, his troops, and also what is expected of special operatives in that part of the world and how demanding it is and how difficult it is and the ramifications of being involved in that kind of warfare. It's really good. It's like a six-parter called The Line. Well worth checking out once you've listened to these episodes, of course.
Oh, interesting.
So that was kind of fascinating.
Yeah,
I don't... the news, actually. You might have seen... it's a guy called Eddie Gallagher, and he was famous. He became well-known, Pete, because it became a bit of a cause célèbre for the right wing in America, and there was always talk that Donald Trump had pardoned him and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't. That was not actually strictly true. That's not actually what happened. But it's well worth having a listen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing though. We do when you get to the position of like Navy SEAL, people expect a higher level of performance than just, you know, your normal squadie and stuff like that. And so when it is a very extreme situation, and I imagine that podcast sort of brings up a lot of kind of. If you're not there, you don't really know how bloody hard this job is, to be quite frank, which I think is certainly fair to a certain extent.
Yeah, so the idea is that one of the interesting thought experiments that it posits in the show, for example, is that, you know, there's this desire and this need, and chiefly from the Geneva Convention, to put rules essentially on war, right? What's acceptable, what isn't. So if you've got a prisoner, you have to treat them a certain way. If it's, you know, civilians, you have to treat them a certain way. If they're unarmed, you have to treat them a certain way. If, you know, all that kind of stuff. They surrender. There's like a protocol for that. And one of the thought experiments is that what if ISIS insurgent comes in, shoots four of your colleagues dead, chucks his gun on the ground, and puts his hands up in the air.
Mm.
Right. Technically speaking, they shouldn't kill him because that's what the Geneva Convention states.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's an extreme example, but it's not ridiculously extreme. And obviously, that comes along with its own kind of ramifications because you've been training with these people for 2, 3, 4 years. They're your friends, and you're in a war. So what happens a lot, and a lot of these Navy SEALs are talking about, is that, welcome to the fucking real world, everyone. War is fucking horrific, right? Mm. It is worse than hell. So if you don't know about it, perhaps be a little bit more empathetic. But then, of course, on the other side, it's like, well, if we don't behave in certain ways, then we're just as bad as the people we're fighting and all the rest of it. And that comes in play with things like torture and all that kind of stuff. So, look, it was a really fascinating, like, philosophically very interesting series. Beautifully put together as well, by the way. So I've enjoyed listening to that over the last week. Recommended to me, Pete, by our friend Charlie at Stack.
Oh, so, good stuff.
Chaz Morgan.
The editor, producer of the Football Ramble. He celebrated a Football Ramble, which is war in itself in many ways.
So in battle. before we get too serious and before we kind of people turn off and think, do you know what? You guys don't normally talk about war and Navy SEALs and stuff. Can I interest anyone in the largest human poo on record?
Yes, you could. Yes,
okay.
You could.
Mm-hmm. So the great thing about doing the Luke and Pete show is that we get to look at news outlets that we would never normally touch in our normal lives.
PooNews.com.
Yeah, and this has come from PooNews.com. It says here, editor Pete Donaldson. The thing I do like about this, now, if you will allow me to be a little bit... make a couple of assumptions, if I may. Okay?
Okay.
So this is a Daily Star story. Okay. The headline is, largest human poo on record shows Viking who passed it was riddled with parasites. Okay. The reporter is Charles Wade Palmer. Do you think he spent 5 years at Charterhouse followed by 3 years at Balliol to write that kind of story?
Yeah. He's I don't think his journalistic career has really turned out as he'd imagine.
No. But anyway, listen, the giant poo is apparently the largest human poo on record. It was dug up from a site in York almost 50 years ago and dates back to the 9th century. 20 centimetres long and 5 centimetres wide. So we're looking like, I mean, listeners can't see me doing this, but you're looking at like that probably, Pete.
I'm imagining the big sausage in the TV show Grange Hill at the start. The way that you're... fatter than that.
Yeah, it's fatter than that for sure. But I feel like it should be bigger.
Well, I just sort of think that, like, I mean, let's have a look at this. We're in a situation where this has been dug out from, like, years ago. It looks girthy, it looks solid, but, I mean, I think it should be a little bit longer. And what is that guy eating? What was the diet of the 9th century Viking?
Mostly meat and bread, apparently.
Right, okay. Because you'd think that would sort of back you up a little bit, wouldn't it? Rather than make you do a huge amount of poopies.
Well, apparently as well also, I don't know how they can tell this. Apparently they can by tests. They can tell the following things. So a mostly meat and bread-based diet. Several hundred parasitic eggs found, which suggests the Viking was riddled with intestinal worms, and it had been built up over a good few days of no stools passing.
So, right. The Donny.
There you go.
Donaldson Viking.
The Donny special. But I do feel like it should be... bigger. It just looks like quite a big turd. But on the Viking front, there's an excellent historian of the Anglo-Saxon era called Mark Morris. Right, he just put a book out recently about
the from the Blue Tones.
Do you know what? Actually, they're not the same person. But you've just reminded me that that's the same name. They're
the Blue Tones.
Yeah. And I've just finished reading this book about the Anglo-Saxons because it's a fascinating period, right? Because you had the Romans in Britain. They all just fucking go because the Roman Empire collapses. And what follows is actually a really kind of tumultuous period in Britain. And but what he does is there's a chapter in there about the Vikings. And it is the biggest, almost like, and I mean this with love because it's a great book, but it's like the biggest letdown because you're expecting, right, let's get stuck into the Vikings now. And they weren't actually at all as popular culture would have them. So they didn't have big horned helmets. They weren't particularly ferocious or fierce compared to other peoples of that era.
They were just farmers.
Yeah, and they were particularly good seafaring people. That's kind of the only real stereotype that kind of stands up.
Right.
But what happened was Britain had become a nation of Christians at that point, and as a result, they had like a different outlook on life. And the Vikings at that point were still pagan, so they were just a lot more ruthless, basically. And Britain, large parts of Britain were just massively undefended. And so the Vikings just took advantage of it when they realised, because they had been trading together for a while, they were like, right, we're going to have a bit of this now. And they got properly stuck into Britain. But they didn't have horns on their helmets. Depressing.
Right. So, I mean, what you're saying is that back then, in the, what would that be, the 9th century, there was a situation where all of Britain were just full of snowflakes and they just let the Vikings do whatever they wanted. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. Get a grip. Can't even defend your own homestead.
Well, from long boats to long poos to the ad break. I will be back after this with your emails. So that's all right with you. It's the Luke and Pete Show, baby.
Terrible link.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
An excellent link just before the break. The Luke and Pete Show back on a Monday. What was wrong with that? That was the best link I've ever done on the show. The most organised.
You just went long boats, long poos, and then just jacked it in.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't have a third. The rule of three. That's how you sort of end it. I am starting the rule of two. That's what I'm doing. But, number twos.
Listen, you are far better at that kind of presenting than me, and it's not for me to be wise after the event, but could you have gone from long poos to long boats to a not-so-long ad break? We'll be back in a minute. Could have.
You could have stepped in. Sometimes you step in for outroing. Sometimes you don't.
like a uproarious pub debate with you, Pete. I only thought of it on the way home. That's the problem. Speaking of that, by the way, we were in the pub together for the first time in ages, weren't we?
We were. I got terribly sunburnt.
Did you really? That's the thing, see. And I think, Pete, it's a really good point because I want to make it clear to everyone listening to this. The fact that you got sunburnt in the pub last week on a beautiful day in the pub garden is a massive testament to the quality of your personality because I was absolutely insatiable for the shade. I wasn't listening to anyone against it. I was getting in the shade whenever I could, and I was making other people sit in the sun because they can deal with it much better than me. You didn't moan a single bit. You sat out in the sun the whole time, and as a result, you've paid the price there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to thank the sun for all its hard work on the day. I'd like to thank the people who did most of the work. Yeah. But it's just like, I'm not a big sunbather, but I am. I enjoy being tanned, but I cannot be arsed with sitting out in the sun. So I think a pub, when you're a bit pissed in the pub garden, you're not really noticing that your skin is burning off your forehead. We had a lovely old time. I can't really remember what was said, spoken about, discussed, but we had a nice time.
Well, Jim Campbell was regaling us. This might have been just after you left, actually. Jim Campbell was regaling us with amazingly funny stories. He did a rehash for people who haven't heard it, because there was quite a few people there, of The Crappening, which people heard for the first time on this show a number of months ago. It never gets less funny. And he was telling some great stories. I mean, I was expecting the staff of the North London pub in which we were in to be a little bit more welcoming, I'll be honest.
Right.
At one point, after being closed for however many months they've had to be closed for, which of course is very sad and a terrible thing, the member of the bar staff actually audibly complained when, after buying three bottles of wine for the group, we asked for some glasses. Can't use those glasses. Can't use those. Hasn't it been a COVID pandemic? What? Just get some glasses. Do you know what I mean? We don't know who's been drinking out of them. Just get some more glasses. We bought three bottles of wine. It was probably about 150 quid. Can we have some glasses? So you'd hope there'd have been more welcoming. They weren't, but that is the London way sometimes, isn't it?
And that's the thing. I think pubs that certainly I've frequented recently, they're finding it very hard to get people back off a furlough. Just pay them more. I would suggest any people who have businesses, just pay them a wage that they don't have to worry about tips and stuff like that. They're kind of understaffed because it's hard to retain staff, and so therefore the people who aren't turning up for work are letting the people who are in work down, not like out of furlough, but just you know, whatever, for whatever reason, not turning up for work. So everyone's having a terrible time, everyone's stressed out, and on top of that you've got the COVID protocols, you've got the people drinking to excess because they haven't been out of their house for 6 months. It's a recipe for a very stressful summer for a lot of people in the service industry, and so I salute everyone with both hands with that.
And what's this that's going to come and make it a little bit more easy? Oh, hello, the Euros.
Throw your pints in the air, guys. Yeah. It's the Euros.
So I had a problem with that back in 2018. I thought, if you're going to throw your pint up in the air to celebrate a goal in a football match instinctively because you're so excited, fair enough. Mm. What I didn't like, Pete, I didn't like people there primed, ready to do it.
Doing it for the gram. They're doing it for the gram, and I don't think you should be allowed to throw any alcohol up in the air unless you are 10 miles north of Sheffield, because everything south of that, too expensive. That's a £5 pint there. You throw it in the air in a box park.
Oh, absolutely correct. It's a really good point. And I think £5 is very, very low for your example price there.
I drink Stella.
I think the pints in... So I'm fairly certain the pints in the pub we were in last week were north of £6.
Right, yeah, no, that sounds about right.
The worst ever liberty, the worst ever pub liberty, Pete Donaldson, was a local pub near an office I used to work at, where it would have been a number of years ago, let's say it was six years ago, right? Pint of Communal Garden Lager or a pint of IPA in a nice pub near our office, £5.5. That 5p is a liberty. If I'm handing over a tenner, I'm not getting a note back. Absolutely disgraceful liberty.
Yeah, that's upsetting. That's over the lip for me. That's worse than
£5.50.
Yeah, I'd rather than that a £4.99 if you're going to give me a penny back. Just make it £5. Make all the drinks £5. There's no reason for drinks to be more expensive than that. They just aren't.
Should we start a campaign?
This is five's plenty.
Start a campaign. Every single alcoholic drink, it's like a flat tax.
Yeah,
flat rate tax. £5 for every drink. You know where you are.
And some drinks you're gonna. Some drinks, like, even if it's a half, that'll be annoying because you'll be paying double what you're expecting. But that's just the way it's going to be. If you're going to have a half, don't have any alcohol. Just have something else. It's fine.
Yeah. Remember back in the late 90s where they just brought in the £2 coin and beers were literally £2. So it was almost like it was basically like the Bank of England had brought out a beer token.
Yes, dear. The £2 coin, was that... Because at the moment, £2 coins have like a double colour, don't they? It's kind of like gold and silver.
So £1 now.
Oh, yes, they do. And back in the day, the £2... I've not used coins for quite a long time, but the £2 coin, that was originally just a little bit bigger than a £1. It looked like an old guinea, didn't it?
I think it was probably twice the size of a pound coin.
Right, okay. Oh,
I think it's always had the two-tone, I think.
Has it? Okay, well, fair
enough. I think so, yeah.
But it seems...
Good to go out of tenor and know that you had 5 beer tokens in your skyrocket.
Definitely, and I remember, this is going to make us sound incredibly old, but I remember in our house having half pennies kicking around very briefly.
I do as well, and the big Bell's bottle.
Yes, exactly, and so that would have
been... Bell's whiskey bottle in your house? We did.
We had, I can't remember what we had. Yes, yeah, something similar like that with just a lot of coins in there. And maybe just a metal tin, a tin that used to have a little cake in it, maybe. But half pennies went out. Like 77, was it? 78, something like that?
I don't remember ever being in a position where we could spend them, but we had them left over. And I also think that, speaking of that, which is absolutely horrific, I can remember we had this big, so I'm talking about a 3 foot high Bell's whiskey bottle, empty, full of coins, right? Mostly coppers, right? Me and my sister she's 5 years younger than me. This is basically my fault. We used to pick it up, empty it onto my mum and dad's bed, and see how many of the coins we could fit in our mouths.
Oh, Luke, that's gonna do you in, isn't it? Can you imagine how many pockets, how many hands, how many toilets, how many those coins would be?
And I also
your mouth would like dry up, wouldn't it? And it would just be all metal.
Really
and,
horrible.
Ugh.
It's almost like people scraping their fingers down a blackboard when I think about it. But the only other thing I can offer, which is vaguely similar to that, is there was a kid in the rugby team at uni. Who his big thing was he had a massive pair of nuts. And that, to be fair, I mean, to be honest, the nuts were normal size, but the ball bag was massive. So his pub trick was
it
he had
swung
a big
low.
Ball bag and a big foreskin. Yeah, so his ball bag was so big, he could basically put a pint glass, empty pint glass under his balls, and the balls would touch the bottom of the glass, right?
Oh, wow, that is... Yeah. He'll have to get that fixed, truly.
Imagine what it's like now. He's in his 40s.
And he'll have a Venetian blind it.
Yeah. And his foreskin was massive, and he used to put coins under his foreskin, which, again, can't be good for you.
The man's just got too much skin. Just calm it down, mate.
Anyway, we're supposed to do emails. We're supposed to do an email. I'm sure we can fit a couple in, maybe at least one in. Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. We always, always, always struggle to fit them in because we're windbags talking absolute shit for half an hour each time. One man who has sent an email in, I think it's a man, it might not be a man. The emailer's name is Sam, so it can work both ways. Says, "Hi, Luke and Pete, happy 4 years from a long-time listener." Thank you very much, Sam. They say, "I would like anyone to challenge my most amount of steps in a single day. At a rave on January 30th, 2018, while I was studying in Portsmouth, and he says, this could be a software malfunction. I can't really remember. I'm as surprised as you are. But I was dancing all day and night at a rave. 413,452 steps in 24
that
hours.
That seems impossible. You would have to be running constantly at that
time, surely.
I've worked
it out. It's 206 miles. I don't think it could be true. I don't think it can be correct.
I mean, maybe because it's on... I presume he did it with like a Fitbit or something. He was probably shaking his arms around at a higher ratio than his feet were actually wobbling around.
I presume it's just an iPhone. I don't know, though.
Oh, you reckon? Okay. Yeah, that does sound like a software malfunction. I mean, I'm not going to cast aspersions to our semi-anonymous listener, but surely you're at a rave. Drugs must have been imbibed. That is insanity.
I mean... 206 miles, you are going to be getting through. I mean, by the way, that's 10 times almost. That's about 9 times the length of a marathon, right? And when you're doing a marathon, you're burning thousands upon thousands of calories. I don't know if it is possible. So we've got a confirmed one. Someone emailed in a while back saying they did 2 marathons a day. Fair enough. All accepted. Definitely possible. My friend Jimmy, aka Jimmy the Fruitarian, he did 75,000, I think, in a day, and that's confirmed. I mean, but he literally left the house first thing in the morning and walked all day because he is a man-child, as we all are, and he wanted to break a record set by another friend of mine, and he took a day off work to do it because that's what men can be like. That's legitimate. He couldn't walk for 3 days afterwards. His feet were in absolute pieces, but he did it. I'm not sure. And then you factor in the idea that this guy's done 6 times that. I don't know about
that. I mean, that was on fruit, to be quite frank. I
only
think
fruit that actually falls naturally from the plant as well.
True, and I think with I just think Mo Farah hasn't made or maybe won't be making the Tokyo Olympics this year. Slip him an ecky, see if he'll have a go at breaking the 413,452 steps in a marathon, because that's what I would like to see.
I haven't even thought about the Olympics yet this year. Have you?
Only because I really desperately want to go back to Japan, and it just seems like a nightmare in which the Japanese are never going to escape it because none of them are keen on vaccines. They're never going to get
that. Is that part of the problem?
There, in the 90s, there were some quite, you know, designery vaccines that came out for some less than exotic problems they had out there. And a lot of people got quite ill because the vaccines weren't very good. So the vaccine confidence is, you know, over the world is just so low in Japan. So nobody, I think they're at 2% at the moment. And it's nearly July, for crying out loud. And they're heading into an Olympic situation. Yeah. Yeah, it certainly it was last time, like 2-3%. Wow. It's there's very low vaccine confidence there. They'd just rather not talk to foreigners.
I had no idea. There you go, little bit of knowledge bombing. More Japan stuff on Pete's excellent other podcast, Abroad in Japan, which is well worth a turn of the ears as well.
Indeed.
Pete, should we get out of here because we're probably out of time now, aren't we?
Let's. We'll be back on Thursday though, won't we? Doing the same thing.
We'll do battery brands. We'll fit in some more emails. We'll do lots of fun stuff. So don't miss it. Subscribe at the button on the app you're listening to right now to make sure you never miss an episode. Do tell your friends about us. Do leave a review. We enjoy doing the show twice a week, but it would be nothing without you guys. So do please get involved with that as well. He's been Pete Donaldson. I've been Luke Morris. It's been lots of fun. We'll see you on Thursday. Have a lovely week.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. and then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.